beautiful sentence. The whole Torah here, this long Torah, Noras HaTchia, Per Gimel, which is really a Ruchnius history of what happened to us through Golus and what's changing now by the Tchia, by our return to Eretz Yisrael. And it's very discouraging. Rav Kook understands, and we all know that it's very discouraging that all of the beautiful things that he's talking about and that we believe in are taking such a long time. So the sentence we ended with last week, I wanted to see the note, I know, that we ended with last week is HaMetzias Ein on page 75. That HaMetzias Ein Lo Knafayim Mehirim Ke'ela Asher L'Chizayim. That reality doesn't have such quick wings, such doesn't fly as quickly as the vision. A vision is something that can carry you in a moment to the distant future. And everything is beautiful. But reality doesn't have such wings to fly as quickly. HaMetzias Ein Lo Knafayim Mehirim Ke'ela Asher L'Chizayim. And Rav Avinir explains, Lokech Zman Rav L'Metzias. It takes a long time. Our job is to live with these ideals and to believe in those nevuahs and that have kept us all of these years and to know that they'll come true and that they're going to materialize. But metzias takes a long time. Lokech zman rav lemetzias kedei lahagshim es osam chalomos gedolim v'yedeilim nisayim. It takes a long time to bring into reality, in a real way, those dreams, those great dreams and ideals that we have. So in footnote 132, it's an important, very important note. Let's learn it together. So I already spoke a little bit about this last week, but levilabochur bachura hanisim zelazu. You have a guy and a girl get married, a bocha and a girl get married in order to k'dilas of the son Hashem. And they want to do Hashem's will. It's a very nice couple. U'lahavi la'olam sadik tamar chacham. And all they want to do is to bring into the world to have children, to have tzadik tamar chacham, adovik b'Hashem, u'chol ramachi v'av shesak idov. So all they're looking forward to is raising a child and children like this. A child who's a Jew who's going to be careful with every halacha. Completely dovuk Hashem. That's all they've been waiting for. And it's, let's say it took a while for them to have a child. And finally, the child is born, and all they see on this child is that he eats and drinks all day. That's all he does is eats. He eats. I mean, there are adults like that too, but this baby just eats and drinks all day. Not only that, malachlech, he's making a mess. He gets dirty, and he cries. So the parents are unbelievably disappointed. Here we wanted, the whole reason we got married is we wanted to bring this big tzaddik into the world and have this little thing that doesn't talk, doesn't it? Just cries and eats and drinks and makes a mess. So of course it's an Irish guy. Eliyesh tzarek b'savlanis. It has to be savlanis. It takes time. Savlanis. Neshem adubu b'tahalich ha'erech shan. Takes many years. It's a tahalich. The Gemara says that Chania Magal, that he was 70 years that he was asleep and then he came back. The Gemara says that he met somebody who was planting a carob tree, right? Charuvim. So you know the story in the Gemara that he was planting the carob tree. And Chania Magal asked him, he said that the tree, how long the tree takes, this takes 70 years, a carob tree, until it has charuvim, until you can get something from it, takes 70 years. So the tzaddik asked this person, do you expect to live, so it's, you're ready, like whatever it is, 30, 40, you expect to live another 70 years? So his answer was that I came into a world that had charuvim because my parent, my father, planted it for me, and I'm planting it for my children. Right. In other words, it's a tahlich. It's a Tu B'Shvat is saying such a thing that when you put a tree, when you plant the thing, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time till you're going to have fruit. It's not like that. The person gets all excited and he buys the seeds for this tree and he runs to the store and a little child puts them to the ground and he's looking outside the window the next morning. He's thinking he's going to see it. It's going to be a tree. And the father says to him, "What are you looking at?" He says, "I want to see the tree." He says, "The tree? It's going to be years and years until." That's how it is. Baruch Hashem, so we have to mechazik ourselves. Anuzoichem liros his iskaimus, his gashmus, hatoyver lakiyam uchlapim mitzias. We have to thank Hashem that we see his good, we see his brachas, we see in a very clear way, especially in our generation, we see so many exciting things that are the beginning of the realization of that tov eloki hamuchlat in mitzias in reality. So there's an impatience. Once we come back to Eretz Yisrael, so we're like the little boy looking outside the tree. So we're looking outside the window. We're looking outside the window to see what, that everything should be perfect and we should already be by that next shlav that the Chalban is talking about that we're learning together on Tuesday night. We want to see everything should already be. You see, you know, David HaMelech sitting by the kosher playing his harp instead of some mishugana, right? We're looking outside the window to see that it should all be the way that we dreamt of. And we already have, we're back, we're here, so there's so many problems, so many obstacles. L'shizurak ha'scholo, mikol makom zu ha'scholo shal davar gol. But we're zeichet to live in a generation where there's a ha'scholo gol, like there's big stuff that's going on. It's the beginning. We're not there yet, but it's much more encouraging. What we're seeing outside the window is much more encouraging than our parents and grandparents. Mm-hmm. You can't even compare. What did our parents and grandparents see when they looked outside the window? And what we were able to see when we look outside. You Amish can't compare. Lachain, Lotzarch Lesyayish, Lazatzbein. Therefore, we shouldn't Chalila give up and get nervous. Kechlal, Tomid Yeshno Pe'er, Ben Achizayon, Leben HaMetzius. What Rav Kook is teaching us is that, well, we all know that there's always going to be a gap between the vision and reality. And we have to always remind ourselves that there's always going to be a gap between the two. Ben HaShi'ifa HaIdealist, that ideal that you're longing for, Leben HaKshamasa B'Parol, between, and it actually being Lamaisa, page 76, next page. The footnote. Kishem she'ev shalat smiach tekev miyad etz tapuzim, like we're saying. You can't have all of a sudden an orange tree. It's interesting because the simcha of Tu B'Shvat, it's Rosh Hashanah li'ilanis, but the simcha of Tu B'Shvat, as we've discussed so many times in this chiddush, and all the tzaddikim talk about this, is that look outside, we're talking about looking out the window. Look outside the window right now. This is Tu B'Shvat. It's freezing cold. It's ice and snow. And we're singing Tu B'Shvat, Higia, Chagi L'Anas. All the trees are bare. But a person that knows and that believes that on Tu B'Shvat, the Hashkedi Aparachas, right? It's just the first glimmering. And there's a cell of that, of the almond tree, which is the earliest. It's just beginning, pushing out a little bit in Eretz Yisrael, just now. It's pushing out. The vision is a vision of so much fruit and so much beauty. But Davka, the Yontif of Tu B'Shvat, is not in the spring. It's not when things have fully developed. It's not when everything has blossomed and bloomed. It's not when we have Tu B'Shvat. If somebody asked one of us, when do you think it should be Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, you'd say, Shavuos is Yom HaBikurim, so make it should be Shavuos, should be Tu B'Shvat. Then that's when Shavuos time, you walk outside, everything is growing, the trees are weighed down with the fruit, and you would think that that's the time you should make a Rosh Hashanah. But that's not it. The Rosh Hashanah for trees, Tu B'Shvat, is davke when it's in the winter. It's in the winter. It's just taking a turn towards the beginning, towards the spring. And Eretz Yisrael here, it's towards the spring. and that's when you have a yontif. It's Chazal of Kabbalah that by Tu B'Shvat the sorrow, the sap begins to rise on the tree. Which is not anything you could even see with your eyes. You could only believe in your, and think about that the sap is rising in the tree, and from this I make a whole yontif. Tu B'Shvat is a very deep yontif, and because the sap is rising in the tree. It's the beginning, the first stirring of life coming out of the winter. That's Tu B'Shvat. So a person, if you tell a person that, imagine someone that doesn't know anything about Yiddishkeit, and you tell them, today you say, Sunday night we have, it's a holiday. What holiday? It's the holiday for fruit, for the trees. So you say, you're crazy. What kind of holiday there's nothing on the trees. Why don't you wait a little bit longer? Why are you making a holiday now? The Teretz is that somebody that's not a Jew has to see in front of his eyes. And if the vision isn't realized and he doesn't see it in front of his eyes, mitzias, he gives a kick and he walks away. But a Jew understands that and believes that the sap is rising in the tree. And the yontif is that belief in the beginning, the stirrings of life. What about the ideal? The ideal, it's Hashem. It'll come. But we're making a yontif because we're Jews and we believe in the beginning. And we anticipate and we look forward to. And that's what the whole yontif is, anticipation and looking forward to. It means that there's an ideal, there's a vision, there's a dream. It was a lekach zman. It takes time. We could make things much faster, say that's our avodah, but it takes time. It'll be. First you have to plant the little sapling. The top will both take care of it, lahashka saiso, and to water it. Ligzaimasarlov, lahamti, you have to prune the branches. Lahamtin besavdlonis shnaisa orla, then you have to go through the years that you're not allowed to take the fruit, because it's orla. Raklachat kufarucha, it's already a long time. Yotsu besaifa shaldovatapuzim, then you finally have oranges. Our children really think that the oranges grow in the grocery store, in the makolot. That's what they think. They don't think that there's such a thing as orange trees. Well, they heard about them, maybe for primitive people, but here in the five towns, the oranges grow in the store. They don't grow on trees. It grows in the store. And you see that people, when it comes to children, there's also such an impatience. Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, and Hashem had such a pay that he was hitting the rock. And the morale says that a Jew you have to talk to, you have to educate, you don't hit. You have to educate, you have to talk to, it takes time. We want the children to be like perfect right away. Everybody wants the children, it should be just right. And the Shabbos table, because everybody envisions that, we were talking about a little bit 2 weeks ago, everybody envisions the Shabbos table, all the children sitting perfect and everything is nice. And the Matthias is like so far from that, unless you happen to be the one family that ever was created that has such an Indian that all the children just sit there and say, please, Father, can we hear the Dvar Torah? I've never heard of such a family. Thank you, Mother. Could we help you with the dishes? That was like in the old television shows when we were growing up. Like that was like in the old television shows, and they would sit around like in a necktie by the... Yeah, you like Ozzie and Harriet? Okay, that was good. All right, for all of them, everybody sits with a necktie, they say grace, you know, with a table. And, you know, so the reality comes out like that. The kid's saying, you know, where's the blanket potatoes? I'm waiting ready for an hour. And why are you asking me about school? Stuff like that. So it's not going to be sitting around in bow ties, you know. And the mother would come out like in an evening gown. In the old shows, would come out like in an evening gown to serve supper. So it's funny, but we have such a demyonis. Even though there's nobody in the world that's really like that, but everybody thinks that their kids are going to be like this. Mamish, you know. Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, "Ani es halach le'iti." Esav said, "Come with me." And Yaakov Avinu says, "I'm going slowly." As Yaakov Avinu says, I'm going to take my time. Esav, I've got to get there right away. Yaakov Avinu says, Vani as halach leregel ha-yeladim, according to the pace of the children. That's what Yaakov Avinu says. I'm going to move according to the pace of the children. I'm not pushing them ahead. I'm not rushing. According to their pace. The regal hayiladim. That's the key. It's a very, very big yisod in chinuch hayiladim, is at the children's pace, not according to your dream, but according to the children's pace. You know, these are things that you could say all kinds of shmuz and shiur, and that's why I don't talk so much about these things anymore. Because lamaisa, when it's in your house with your kid, you feel like, you know, my situation is different than what the rabbi was talking about. My kid, you know, it's got to move faster. So it's very hard that a person should be able to be safe of all kinds of crazy things that you see with the kids are doing. I was by Levi the other day, and the children were saying, so one of the kids of the father is Sharona's father, Dr. Gross, who's a very, very hush of Yid. You know, Jeff Weinberg's Shver. And the Levi was a beautiful Levi, and it was a very sad, sudden way he died. But the kids were talking, one of the kids, the father was a professor, he's a big Elisha person, is the father. He's a mathematician, a very big mathematician. So one of the sons, like, was saying that he just wanted to play the drums. He wasn't into scholarship. So, of course, you know, your father's a Talmud Chacham, and your father's a big professor, and you want to... So he said, not only did my father, not only was he savor it, but he went and he bought all the equipment for me. And he was mechazim all the time with the playing. That's not typical of people. Typical is, what are you doing? This is an Irish guy, and it's not for you. But he understood that this was the pace of his child. This is what he needs right now. I have to walk with him. The regular you love him. The regular ton of you love him. It says in the pasuk, I have to go according to the pace of the animals and the children. That's what Yaakov said. The animals. The sheep and the children, the tzayin, he loved me. About Korea, tzayin, I don't remember. What does it say there exactly? When he's halachli, it's halachli to the regular tzayin, you love them. Something like that. So the animals means according to the Nefesh Bahamas. What does it mean, the animals? It means I understand that my child, I understand the Nefesh Bahamas, you know. So, I have to go according to the pace of the, to work with the kids according to the, their habits, the regular yaladim, the hergelim, and the nefesh bahamas. And if you do things, and you're patient, and you wait, so then the kid will turn out to be normal and healthy. But if it's an inyan, of like it has to be, you know, hitting the rack, and I want it to be, what does it say?
It says, "V'yamar lav Adoni yodeh ki yaladim rakim v'atzom l'bokar alus alai
l'chut mimecha." The children are delicate. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, if I be too hard, then they'll die right away.
Right.
So the next one, good. So I'm going to move with the pace. The I move according to the work that I need to do. I need to do work with this for the kids. According to their pace. That's the yisod. That's the whole yisod. In raising a family, and planting a tree, it's like that with everything. And Samach David is like that also. Each one of us thinks that we would have brought Mashiach a long time ago. If it was me, if I was God, I would have already made Mashiach a long time ago. What's all the stuff that goes on, all the tzaris? And Hashem as well says, you're not me, and Ani Esna Aliti. I have a mahalach. There's a mahalach. That we should be able to absorb gula, whatever that means. Why Hashem does that, in what way, that's Hashem's business. But it's like that with everything. So first you have to plant a little thing, and then you get a savlonis, a shnei, and after the two, then have to kach kol hakshemazah shel hatochnis elokis bebriyas haolam. And so it is with Hashem's big plan that he has for what he wants in this world. He lays out the pchusa min hatechnoin hamikori shekesh baruch omar shel haris lahitzi eitz p'yaisa pri. So we see that it's not, Hashem originally said it should be eitz p'yaisa pri. See, I came out Erev Tu B'Shvat to learn this. It should be eitz p'yaisa pri. That's the tikkun, that it should be that the tree should have the same taste as the fruit. That we spoke about many times what that means. V'ilo ha'aretz etziya achrak eitz oisei pri. That's Rav Kook's Torah Na'aretz HaTshuva, that we spoke about many times. That we're impatient, so we want that the tree should have the same taste as the fruit. That means that we want to have the fruit as the final dream. That's the fruit. That's the chizayon. That's the vision. That's called fruit, right? The product, the orange. That's the prize. That's what you want at the end. But that's the peiros. The eitz, the tree. That's how you get to the fruit. The tam ha'eitz is not the tam ha'pri. Right? That's what happened in Bereishis. That the taste of the tree is not the taste of the fruit. That separation is what causes us so much agmas nefesh. That we want that the tree should have the same taste as the fruit. In other words, that working towards the ideal, the fruit should taste as good as the ideal itself. But it's not true. Raising children doesn't taste the same way as seeing the child that turned into a tzaddik or something like that. It doesn't taste the same. It's hard. It has the taste of the tree. It doesn't have a good taste. The tam ha'etz is not the tam ha'pri. That's the curse of life in this world, that we feel that we're working towards some great goal and some ideal, and all of these years I'm not feeling or tasting the tachlis. I don't see the tachlis. I want to already see the fruit. So the parents, they have to come every single week. I have a conversation with the parents. He's not davening, doesn't want to go to shul. How old is he? He's already 8 years old. He said, oh, 8 years old. You're 48 and you don't want to go to shul and you don't want to daven. You just go because other people expect you there. If no one was watching, you thought God was resting a little bit, you wouldn't go either. So you're so your kid's 8 years old, you're nervous he's going to go off the derech or something. You're going to push him off the derech. That's what you're going to do. You're pushing him off the derech. He's saying, go to shul, and hacking him all the time with davening. One of the leaders was telling me from the groups that lead with the kids, one of them was telling me how you have this particular father. I didn't ask who it is, but there's a particular father. He's constantly coming around checking to see how come he's not davening, how come he's not learning. Rabbi Shlomo, it's groups. The kid's just like, you know, he's a little kid. He's just chilling out, you know. And the father, why aren't you davening with him? Why aren't you learning? Yeah, leave him alone. He does that the whole week long. And the kid's already telling the leader that, like, you know, he bothers me all the time with this. He's always coming after me, looking to see what I'm doing. And a little kid already feels like that. This doesn't have much promise, unfortunately, this situation. Like, the kid feels that already. A little kid feels my father's on my back all the time. Why can't he come shop and just sit around a little bit? You have these parents who have this conversation over the years. You have parents here in the shul that they want that the Shabbos groups should be like, you know, they should be like advanced, accelerated parasha, you know, 4.5 or something. I don't know what. I said, all week long, they sit in school all day long. Leave them alone. It comes here. You want them to have bad associations. They're not going to want to go to shul. That's what happens to them. Then they don't want to go to shul. Because they come to shul, it's bad enough I have to be all week long in Mitzrayim. I come Shabbos, and here's Paro again. I finally get out of Mitzrayim, and I come to Shabbos, and say, Nacham El Paro standing here. Over. So who wants to come to shul? Kids want to come to shul. When I was a kid, we used to drive around. Yeah, we had a certain time. I went to my father. I daven next to my father during that time, and then that was it. And I looked at my father. My father gave a look, and I meant, like, you know, okay, it's enough. And go. There's no chachmas. You daven a little bit, and you go. My father once said to me, "Kalapacha said, give shalom, give shalom." He would say to me, "Give shalom." That means Hashem, give shalom, give shalom. Just say hello to the Baruch Shalom. Give shalom. And I would daven a few words, and then we went out to play. We made such a chorban. Oh, wow. We used to make such a chorban, what we did over there. But you know what? Shul was a good place to be. It was a geschmack place to be. We grew up in shul. I grew up in shul. That's where we used to hang out. We used to be in shul, the guys. This wasn't standing out the groups. I don't remember. There were some leaders there. I don't know. I don't remember what was going on with any leaders or groups or anything like that. It was total hefkeres. It was total hefkeres. And every now and then also there'd be some gabbai or something come scream at us and yell. And we'd all go running and hiding and whatever we were doing over there. But we loved being in shul. We felt that shul is like being, you feel home, you feel good. It's not in school, But yeah, you know how many times I have with this parents that they want, it should be, how come they're not learning anything in the group? How come this father wanted that they should have, for the little kids, they should have Mishnayos and Gemaras? Oh my goodness. Mishnayos and Gemaras. That's usually the Balei Tshuva that come with these things. Such a svara like that. He has to make up for your lost time. So you have on Shabbos, these little kids who want to hack them with Mishnayos, trying to, a little bit, they should be able in school to sit there for a few hours. It's getting harder and harder to keep them. So now you want, they should just play games and they should just have a good time in shul. And they should throw things at each other. That's part of growing up. But everybody wants that it should be like this. It's such a tkifus. Things that parents say, I don't know how to even answer. I guess I was the same way. I don't remember. I try not to remember. I was probably the same way. I don't remember. But it's a long time already when they were little. I think with the girls I was easy with. But with Lucia, I was probably very hard because it's going to be the Gadol Hadar. So, the girls, they could have a good time. But that's how it is. And it's such a tekifus. And then it goes the way that you don't want it to go. That's how life is. That's what it means. We wanted the tree should have the taste of the fruit. You want that the years of way of nurturing and of growing, and that it should be already the end. It should taste like the fruit. It doesn't taste like the fruit. Raising the children is a hard time. It's a difficult bit of time. And what Rav Kook is saying is the same way in Eretz Yisrael. So we're returning to the land. Already in his time, we were beginning to come back. And everybody wanted to see Miad. And now we should see everything that Yeshaya was talking about, and everything that the Nevi'im were talking about. We should see now. It's not like that. First of all, physically, the land was a mess. And then in Ruchnius, in Torah, and in Tefillah. And just the people with Tzibroch, and there was so much with the Arabs. And you want this to be like Miad. It doesn't go like that. Miad. Vayin Erza Tshuva. So this is the piece that we're talking about. Erza Tshuva and Yudalev. Ha'avayis, Mezgalas, B'tay Yerida, Me'elokiyus, La'ilamiyus. All of creation is in such a way where there was something that was elokus, that was godly, and then it descended into something which is alomius, worldly. From the godly to the worldly. Shikamay Ashpolo Amisa Nairo, which is like a terrible death. Creation is mamish. Creation is death. Creation is death because everything left a place of absolute life, and then it was made into something in this world that's dying. That's a terrible, that's tremendous, tremendous yirida. What we see here in this world, that a person dies, that's not a yirida, that's an aliyah. That's an aliyah. Coming into the world is a yirida. Coming into the world is a yirida. Leaving the world is an aliyah. And the Arich is a sefer Iris. Hefsek, in the Iris he writes, Hefsek murchach lios ben toichen ha'ideal. There must be a gap between the ideal, hamushat, mufshat means something that's not tangible, it means the concept, the idea, the abstract. There has to be a gap between the abstract ideal, shel megamas hakol, the goal and the objective of everything, and between what you see in reality. There's always there has to be a gap. Because there's a yerida from elokius to elomius, from godliness to worldliness. And the climb back takes time. It's very discouraging. You have these great, great exalted ideals. And you see that they're in a matzav of tohu. Like the kid. You see the kid is in a place of tohu. B'shorish ha'nesham v'kor shif ha'yisera mizgablim v'gvul v'gedah yadua. But in a way that you can't see, like just what I said with Tu B'Shvat, that it's the winter, but underneath, in the earth, things are beginning, the sarf is oila, the sap, the koiches of life are beginning to gather together, and to begin to rise up in the tree to give life. It's the same thing with the children. It's the same thing with redemption, with Gula. As Samach David, it's the same thing. Miyad heim miskadrim v'yardim mechavyon uzam. But then you see terribly, you read this. Because reality, so then you begin to see the beginning of things working out. You start to see the beginning of the dream working out. But in the beginning, it's something which is very, very coarse. It's something which is not refined. It's something which is incomplete. And you can get very, very upset about that. Because that's not the picture that you had. You had the picture of something very, very beautiful. And what you're seeing, now that you begin the work, what you're seeing is something that's very, very, very much the opposite of something which is beautiful. Like when you start building a house, it's just a mess. But that toha, that pureness, that beauty that you had in your mind, that you were hoping for, that was when it was still in a state of elokius, of godliness, before it descended into alomius. So you don't see that in front of your eyes. You wanted that ultimate ideal. You wanted that, and you want it now. And that's what you... But you, when you begin to work on making it happen, you're changing diapers, and you're getting up in the middle of the night to go fill a bottle or something. It's not what you had in mind. It's not what you had in mind. People that at least do that themselves, and they don't hire people to do that, to give bottles to their kids and to change their diapers. So at least it could be that they have more of a patience to wait with the kid for other stuff also. But when you're living in an affluent generation like ours, and in a neighborhood that's particularly affluent, and the mother doesn't have to handle with the kid with these things, so how much patience can she have when it's a question of him becoming a tzaddik? She doesn't have the patience to change a diaper. She doesn't have the patience to give a bottle. So how is she going to have the patience to wait and watch him through the difficult years of being a teenager, which is totally crazy years? So how are they supposed to watch? The parents can't watch the kids anymore. They can't look at the kids developing. They can't be patient to watch them develop because they're living in a time where everything is off. Everything has to be like, you press a button and the kid, you could choose what kind of kid you want. Like the same way you can make you pick an emoji. You have the pictures of different kids they're going to put there. And you press the thing, it should come up on your screen that's the kid that you wanted. So it used to be that everybody, there were wealthy people. There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having some help in the house. And don't get into some silly thing from what I'm saying. And oftentimes it saves the marriage altogether. I understand that. And a lot of times I raise money to help to pay that there should be help in the house because their marriage is so, and the mother is like in such a place that she can't take being with the kids. So you got to get somebody to help her out. And happens, but we're raising impatient children. I think that it's obvious to anybody that has a little bit of a seichel. We're raising impatient children because we ourselves have become impatient. So we came that way. Because we got used to having things very, very fast, and how does that affect the more important things in life when it comes to raising the children and watching them through those difficult years and not getting some spoil when you see a kid that's not so firm or the kid is not necessarily doing the right thing and not to be so nispoil from it, not to get all worked up over it, and to let the kid to go the regal high, you love them. It's very hard now. Omnam laat laat. Laat laat hametzias otis ala. Slowly, slowly, reality will ascend. It's ascending. V'tagiyah hakshamas ha'tochnis elokis b'shlemus. And it's going to reach the ultimate plan that Hashem had in mind when he created the world it's going to be. But laat laat. Slowly, slowly, tzibislach. Slowly. Hatermis aperis lano ketzad am Yisrael chava oisais umayvsim mitziasim mitzrayim. The Torah tells us that the same Jewish people that they saw all kinds of amazing miracles in Mitzrayim, when we were leaving Mitzrayim, we saw such miracles. Omad lamagulis har Sinai, we stood at the foot of our Sinai, v'kiblos ha-Torah b'maymad muflam en kamo, and we had, come I saw that we had the most amazing thing, Har Sinai, what happened over there. V'kasha Moshe v'ni yorad ha-maluchais, and when Moshe v'ni came down with the luchais, what did he see? Uraz ha-shev ha-noira, shosho am roka misoviv le'egel. So the people are dancing around the egel. And Chazal says, there's an expression of aluva kalas ha-zinsa b'kav chupasa, how humiliating it is, that the Kala was Mizan, that she was unfaithful, Mamash Badachupa. Mamash Badachupa. So what happened to us? Why did we make an eagle? What was the problem that we had? The problem was Vayish Moshe Einenu. What happened to Moshe? So we made a cheshman. Like Rashi explains, we made a cheshman, so you can't give the men like another day or something? Like what's the cheshman like? We didn't give like an extra 15 minutes. So he made a chesman, and from that chesman did come to us. Where is he? So, didn't come out on time? So far. And it's after all we saw in Mitzrayim, after everything that, and the whole maimed that we had by Shavuos, and after all of that, impatience and not to be able to, that's where it came from, that idiot that we had by the Egel Azov was a strange thing. A strange thing. How many times parents dance around the Egel Azov when the kid's not the kid? They expected the kid to be a certain way by a certain time, and he's not. So the parents start to dance around the Egel Azov. It means they're misyayish from the kid. That's what it means to dance around the Egel Azov. They're misyayish. They give everything up. Vishnosa achrona hayi Rabbeinu Tzvi Yehuda. The last year of his life, at Tzvi Yehuda Cook, every month of Shabbos, he would speak about how Moshe Rabbeinu would come down from the mountain, Lamata Lamachna, to the camp, he would bring the Torah to us. Mahu Moitze B'machna, what did he find? Tants. Tantsarai. They were dancing. Mecholos. Ve'elam Mecholos. It says Mecholos Misori L'Egel. What kind of Mecholos? Dancing around an eagle. Ma'ish. Shocking. No volume. Could they loyal this boat says Mamatsav Kazer? And now what's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do? So the people were impatient, they couldn't wait, they made an eagle. So now what's with Moshe Rabbeinu? Could they loyal this boat says in order not to explode Matsav Kazer? Tzorach Moshe Rabbeinu Atzavim Shal Barzli needs to have nerves of steel. Atzavim Shal Nechoshes of copper. Anachnu Mizdazim. Be shaking. How can you not tremble? Moshe when he yored min hashemayim besimcha kazu. Moshe when he comes down with such simcha, al yonis kazu on such a high level, below you shemim is kazais with such a heavenly madrega, zumashu moitz. And this is what he finds. And the greatness was that unlike the people who misapeg, Moshe when he holds himself. Pilei plaim, Rabbi Yehuda would say. How Moshe was able to lachzik ma'amad, and even when he threw the luchas, the whole it was with a cheshbon, and he got a yeshakayach from Hashem. It was with a cheshbon that they should do tshuva. It wasn't stam, but it was. But how? Eichu machzik ma'amad b'matzav kaseh. He was coming down with a Torah. You have a parent that says, you know how much money I paid to send you to the best yeshiva? He says to the kid, look what you're doing. Could you ever imagine a parent saying such things? It's mice and b'chol yom. You know how much tuition I'm paying for you? You know how much your school costs? And what do? You do nothing. You do nothing. So Moshe when it comes down with the Torah, it's a big thing. It's an expensive thing. And what are you doing? You're dancing like an eagle. It's very, very hard. you're in a place where you have this ideal and this dream, and then you come down from the mountain and you see that your kids are dancing around an eagle. The kids are not the way you wanted them to be. So then what do you do when you see that? Kfiya nira rabbeni yoda shachein mechakas lanuk tkufas koshas ben nizdakek latzom shalbaz. So Rav Avinir was a student of Rav Tzvi Yehuda. So he's saying, it seems that Rav Tzvi Yehuda, before he died, was saying that there's going to be lots of stuff you're going to have to go through until the vision, the ideal that that my father had, that I have, until it's going to be working out. Yeah, and you're going to have a lot of patience, nerves of steel. It's not going to be so fierce. The whole India is not going to be so fierce. Because that time, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, after, you know, the time he was nifty after the 67 war, and a couple of years later, and there was still that the excitement and everything, and everybody felt, oh, shine, it's already done, everything is finished, we're just ending now, and all the waiting is over, and still many, many things that to this day that haven't been worked out. Ayin Shami says, Be'ara, B'dvar Shvab Tzvi Yisrael Tau, also a Talmud of Rav, he's a Talmud of Rav Tzvi Yehuda, a very big Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim. The Besov Yomav Besichos Motzei Shavuos Hoya Chayzer Rabbeinu Maske Tomer Es Moshe Eliyahu. So he says that of Tzvi Yehuda, that the Rebbe, that at the end of his life, Motzei Shabbos, he used to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Navi. Moshe Shoyme De Matzom Shal Barzel. Moshe, who had nerves of steel, looking at the Chagigim Sovir Egel, the people dancing around the Egel, Bedor Chayte, with the sinners, that they were sinning. Lo Nishbar, he didn't get broken by it. Lo Mispot says he doesn't explode. He doesn't give up his faith. He fought for the Jewish people. He wasn't Misash. Hashem said, I'll make a new people. They're no good. I'll start a new nation for you. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Rabbeinu fights for us. Mamish fights for us. He wasn't Misash. Can you imagine that he saw all of us after all that he did for us? And all that we saw, and all the miracles, and everything that was so gewaldig, and a bunch of ingrates dancing around the Egel Azav, and Moshe Rabbeinu was crying and begging and saying to Hashem, "Macheni namasifcha, if you don't forgive them, then you could erase me. I have nothing to do with you." That's what he said to Hashem. I'll have nothing to do with you. I'm done with you. That's a father. That's a Rebbe. That's a father. Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're going to explode. You feel like you've completely lost your patience. You can't wait anymore. When you see the shiftless aruch, when you see such slow things and such silly things, this is special for us now. What was things that we see? That you know, things that we never ever dreamt a few years ago. We never thought that such things are so low and so terrible and ugly. Things that and shiftless aruch v'chalishus ha'omets and such a weakness and lack of courage and backbone that we see like around us, michulshas hamshalah, because you see that the government is so weak. Remember last week my father loved Menachem Begin, so last week I had a clip that I played for my father, Menachem Begin yelling in the Knesset, and my father says, where do we have like this? We don't have like this. He was screaming and yelling. Menachem Begin was carrying on, because because Schmidt from Germany, he was pressuring the Israelis. He was pressuring that they should give in to the Palestinians. And Menachem Begin, he says, "Hagemani, that German." He says, "I don't remember what happened to my parents. I don't remember what happened to my brother and sister. We don't remember what happened." And this Schmidt, he said, he's talking about a world leader, a very powerful world leader, a Germani. He's telling us that we should be paid, that he's telling us how we should run our country here. He's telling us. And he went on like this, Mamish. He had a Jewish courage, an Ometz Yehudi, like that, you know, to be afraid and to be machnif from the. He wasn't machnif. He said like that, you know. And it's very hard, though. It's very hard when you see. When you see that the government is weak. Bilbula, Mirifya, and Yada, and all the confusion that comes from this weakness. Al-Tzarech Lomod B'Meisha Rabbeinu. So Tzvi Yehuda used to say that you have to learn from Meisha Rabbeinu. Sof kol sof, you have to love the Jewish people and you have to try to help, that's all. You do your best. And fight for making things better. Even though you see such crazy things, you have to. My wife was showing me that there was a reform rabbi that made a wedding for two girls. Now, but there are things like this that are happening in our community as well. By frum girls also who were raised in frum. I think they were. At least one of them for sure. Was actually a teacher in our community, one of these girls. She taught in one of the very religious schools of our community. This woman, now she was marrying another woman. And of course, you're not going to get a rav to make such a chuppah. So they got somebody, some reform rabbi, and he said a bracha, Mesameach kala ima kala. And everybody says, amen. Not Mesameach chasna makala, Mesameach kala ima kala. Mesameach kala ima kala. It's a chorben, I'm a chorben, Mesameach kala ima kala. Not to God forbid to look down on anybody, but I'm saying that. Maybe on that rabbi, but I'm not talking about the girls. Not whatever happened to them, happened to them. I'm not saying any kind of it. I'm not saying anything bad about the girls. They had the thing, whatever it is, what happened to them, nothing bad. But you see the shiftless of what's happened to Am Yisrael. That you have to see, says the Semech Kala Makala. It means that there's no chosin. It means that Ranshlam's the chosin. What's happened is Semech Kala Makala. But and we have to. You have to see this shiftless that we see. But that's what we're learning. We're learning that that Metzias reality does not move, does not have the wings of the vision. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it's going to take time. You can't build the Jewish people in 49 days, right? You can't build them in a couple of months, and you can't build a kid in a couple of years. It doesn't work like that. They even say, they have an expression by the gun, that Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Is that you can't? Nothing can be built of any substance. Nothing can be built in a day, not in a year. But people, when it comes to human beings, they think that they can be built so quickly. It doesn't work like that. So it takes emunah and it takes savlanas. And really, that's the whole yontif of Tu B'Shvat. That's what Tu B'Shvat is about. Tu B'Shvat is about. The chavrum takes 70 years to grow. Wait, your job is to plant. You plant over time. You give it what it needs. You just keep on giving love, and you keep on giving the water and the sunshine. And at some point, it's going to be okay. At some point, it'll be a healthy tree. Not to lose Chalila, to lose patience, to lose hope. All right, so we'll continue with next. Maybe Shabbos at each other. Freilich and Tubish. Environment.